We're continuing in our series dealing with the Epiphany season, that season of time between Christmas and Lent, a season in which God continues to be revealed to the people in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we do so in a time in which we recognize the crisis that we face in our world. Everyone feels the crisis. No matter what side you're on the political aisle, people in America feel that something's gone wrong. We label it differently, but we all perceive something wrong. Something that's changed. The nation we live in does not seem to carry the same spirit that we wanted it to, or that we felt that maybe it has in the past. There's something wrong. And part of what we are doing is trying to fix what is wrong. And so what do we do when something's wrong? Well, we go to the experts. And the experts all tell us what they wish to do to fix the problem. Because we know that the problem is too deep. It's not something we can fix. So we look for a hero. We want someone, some group, some person to solve the problem. And those people are all lining up to do that, aren't they? They all want their voice to be heard, their solution to be followed, their answer to be lived in your life. We need a hero. So what are we supposed to do? Us in the church. Those of us who recognize that the political world is not necessarily the best place for the church. And we ask the question, what should we do? And the church loves to ask this question. I've been a pastor for almost 30 years. And one of the things I know more than anything else is churches love a good question that they can send to committee. Can I get an amen? Okay? And we like to debate and discuss and question. We love to contemplate. We love to think. We love to discern and discover, because all of that means that we don't have to actually do anything. Again, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Whenever we're contemplating what we should do, we're not listening to the commands of God who tells us what we should do. God's been there, done that. We've seen this over and over again. From the time of Isaiah to the time of Peter, God has reached out and said, answer my call. You know what you're supposed to do. And time again, those who've received the call, we get terrified by it. The first aspect of the call of God, and the first thing that the people of God need to hear, is that in order for us to do anything that's godly, we have to hear God's voice. And usually that means that we have to enter into prayer with God. We have to read God's word in Scripture. We have to take the time, instead of seeking to solve the problem, we have to take the time to hear how God frames the problem. What the problem truly is, what our circumstances truly are. Part of our difficulty in today's world is that we're trying to figure out how to win the world. The problem is that winning the world might not necessarily solve our problem. Jesus himself said, "What does it profit a man to win the world but lose your soul?" So if winning means gaining things on earth, can we really say that we're winning in God's calculations? In the midst of all of these questions, let's focus a little bit on the story of Peter that we heard read. Now, after church in our Sunday school and our adult Sunday school class, we'll be talking about the story of Isaiah a little more. We'll focus on that. But for our time being here, let's focus on the story of Peter. Peter, we heard his calling today. And the famous words, "Do not be afraid, from now on you will be catching men. You'll be fishers of people." A man who started off the day as a local fisherman, the owner of a small business, someone who got up early in the morning or more likely late at night, set out into the water to fish. All of a sudden, he encounters Jesus once again. The Gospel of Mark shows us that Peter has already encountered Jesus several times before this. And Peter is out, he's fishing, he comes in, Jesus is by the water. Now, if you know voices and water, you know that a good voice carries on the water very well. And one of the things Jesus did in using Peter's boat was he said, "Let me get in your boat, I'll cast off a little bit, and the water will bounce it." It creates a microphone effect. It amplifies the voice. There was a lot of people surrounding him, and this allowed his voice to project and move and catch everyone. So Jesus stands in the boat, and the words reflect off the water, and everyone hears him. But the problem with that is that Peter's day just got longer. You see, Peter was, he was done for the day. And all of a sudden, Jesus showed up and said, "You know, could you help me with this?" And Peter said, "Sure, I'm cleaning my nets, but that's all right." Okay? And then he went out, and Jesus talked, and then Jesus said, "Hey, let's go fishing." And Peter's probably thinking like you do at the end of your workday. You know, the computer's turned off. The day's done. You know, now's really the time that I go home and I sit and I just relax, okay? I become one with my couch. But Jesus says, let's fish. Let's catch some fish. And Peter says, "Hey, I've been doing this for a long time, and I know when there's good days and there's bad days. And today you caught me on a bad day. There's no fish out there." And Jesus says, just one trip. Now, I want to make sure you know this. If Peter was cleaning his nets when Jesus showed up there, then he probably didn't put his nets back in the boat. And if he did, they were folded nicely. Because once you put those nets in the water, you got to clean them again. And so Jesus said, you know, the resistance from Peter initially was, "I don't want to have to do this all over again. I've already closed for the day, and now you're asking me to open up the shop. I've got kids that are in the food service industry. You know, one of my sons is a manager over at Ralphie's in Oregon, and the other son, he cooks at the Ralphie's in Perrysburg. And one of the things they tell me is it drives them nuts when people show up in the last 5 minutes of the restaurant day and order a lot of food." Now, granted, they're there to, you know, Peter's there to catch fish, and my kids are there to cook food, right? But what happens is you cheat a little bit at the end of the day, right? You clean things up. Everything's ready to close, and you're thinking, 5, 4, 3, oh, no. As a party from the local high school shows up with 50 people, the game's over, and they want wings for everyone. Well, that's where Peter's at. He doesn't want to catch fish. He wants to go home. But he decides, okay, let's go catch fish. He says, in fact, directly, "At your word, I will let down the nets." What he's saying is, I will be obedient to what you say. I don't want to do it. I don't think it's going to work. But if you say so, I will obey you. Now, that's one of the first things. And it's one of the first steps of faith, simply being obedient. Scouts, when you first start, you're listening to your leaders, aren't you? You listen to your leaders because they know better. They're trying to teach you something. Now, scout leaders, adults, we know that sometimes people don't listen very well. And sometimes those people are young, and sometimes those people are old. Obedience isn't something that you grow into. Just like maturity isn't measured by age. You either learn to be obedient or you continue in disobedience. Peter is trying to be obedient. Now, this is hard for a guy like Peter because Peter runs his own business. The more you're used to doing it on your own, the less you're willing to be obedient to someone else's word. But he does what Jesus tells him. And then the fish show up. And this is important. It's important to recognize how Peter deals with the fish. Now, we would think that someone who is looking for fish as part of his living, that his excitement would be, that he'd be over the moon for all of this fish, right? You know, this is the equivalent of someone panning for gold and Jesus saying, try over here. And him coming up with a big gold nugget, you know, that he could barely get home. He'd think, my day is over and my tomorrow is over too. But here's the thing. Peter doesn't respond in joy, in exuberance. Peter responds in abject terror. He falls down on his knees in front of Jesus and says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Now, Jesus has just blessed him with an abundance of fish. He's literally probably paid for his boat. But Peter recognizes something that others might not. That Jesus just changed his life. That Jesus just revealed to him something that he might not have wanted. You see, ignorance is bliss. And most people in America, including many in the church, are living in blissful ignorance as to their own calling. You see, we think that it's someone else's job to change the world. We think it's someone else's job to change the country. We think it's someone else's job to pray and to do the work and will of God. You see, it's hard when you come into contact with God because God changes you. God transforms you. What you haven't heard, you don't have to do. Now, have you ever done that in your house? Hidden? When your spouse asks you to do something or when your parents ask you to do something? You know, oh, I didn't hear you. I was in the bathroom. Yeah, honey, you were there for 45 minutes. I'm not sure why. You're hiding from the call. You're hiding. You see it at work sometimes. You look at your phone and you go, oh, no. I've got to do something with this call. And that's what happens when many of us get into the presence of God. We hear what God's saying, and we can no longer step back and say, someone else will do it. We need a hero. We need someone else to act. All of a sudden, we hear it. And we know that God is calling us, that it's not someone else that's hearing the message, it's us. Peter's sitting in that boat, and every moment of that morning when he was with Jesus, all he could think of is, I got to get home. You look at your clock. Have you ever had that sleepless night when you look at your clock and you roll over in bed and you go, okay, if I fall asleep right now, I get 5 hours of sleep. And then 20 minutes later, you roll over and you go, 4 hours and 40 minutes. And you do that all night until and you see the clock ticking. That's Peter. He's in that boat and he's going, I got 8 hours at home time. I got 6 hours, and then I could just go and do what I want to do, because that's what we do when we go home, right? It's our time. It's our world. It's our life. And Jesus is sucking away his life, his time. And then the fish come, and all Peter can say is, oh no, I've just lost my life. I can't do what I want to do and still be honest about what I've just experienced. Am I going to go back to catching fish when I've encountered God? Am I going to go home and watch the game when Jesus just entered into my life? Am I going to pretend that this party or that party or this leader or that idea is going to change the world when I've just encountered a living God that seeks to change my life? Am I going to follow the call, or am I going to pretend I didn't hear it? Am I going to be obedient? Or am I going to just continue in the pedestrian work that I do every day? This is the nature of God's call in your life. For some, it doesn't mean leaving your fishing job. For some, it doesn't mean changing careers. For goodness sake, if everyone became a pastor in today's world, there are just not enough churches. Now, what would be wonderful is if everyone became a Christian that brought their faith into their lives, into their homes, into their work, into their schools. If you took seriously the faith and didn't just say, I believe there's a God up there and God will answer my prayers, but seriously contemplated that God might be wanting you to answer someone else's. That perhaps the key to life wasn't simply letting God do the work, but doing the work that God calls you to do. Being obedient. Earlier we played Simon Says together, right? And the question is are you obedient to the world? Or are you obedient to God? And the question that we have to ask is first, how do we know it's God, right? How do we know it's God's voice? Well, Peter knew it when he heard it. Now, one of the reasons might have been because Jesus met Peter in a synagogue. One of the reasons might have been that Peter was studying God's word, that Peter cared to know what God was saying. He, like us, prayed that God would change his world. Peter lived in a terrible world where everyone knew that the things were wrong. He lived in a world where they were overpowered by Rome. Rome didn't even like Rome. They had Herod, who was a king, but he wasn't really a king. No one thought he was a good guy. Pontius Pilate had simply been recalled by Rome because Pilate was too nasty to the Jewish people. Rome thought Pilate was too violent. Think about that and play it in your head for a while. And the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were all out for themselves. All of their political leaders simply wanted what was going to be good for them. And they didn't care about what happened for the people. All they cared about how to feather their own bed. Anyone think that sounds familiar? And then Jesus shows up. And Peter just wants to pay his taxes and take care of his mother-in-law and handle his family and do the things that every one of us wants to do. And what do? When you feel like you're oppressed, you want to keep your head down, make sure no one notices you, right? Because we know when you get to be Jeff Bezos that everyone notices you, right? Spills all your dirty laundry on the pages of the newspaper. They investigate you when you run for office, right? So we keep our head down, make sure we don't get caught. Just live a quiet life and not change anything. And what happens when the call gets bigger? Are we obedient? Do we hear the word of God? Do we follow it? I've got a brother who's famous. He's a soldier. He was a soldier. And one day, we got word that his exploits in Fallujah were in Time magazine, and he's had video of him in war on HBO when he's been on television, and it's a famous story. They want to make a movie of his exploits. Chris Pratt from the Guardians of the Galaxy wanted to play my brother David. They had a meeting in June in Washington State where he sat down with Chris Pratt and his soon-to-be wife. He said, you know, he's dating Schwarzenegger's daughter. And I said, oh, really? I haven't heard about that. A month later, I heard about it. And one of the worst things about him being projected into this is that every time he's got to talk about it, it weighs, it's heavy. The pressure of being the soldier that has to speak, it's not an easy thing. Because he thinks of the men that he fought with and the men that died in his fight. It's a burden to be a leader. Because being a leader and following God's call always has consequence. And this is one of the things that disables us from answering the call, is we're afraid of the consequences. Now, I want to tell you something. When you know it's God, should you be afraid of the world or should you be afraid of God? I'm just asking you to do a little bit of mental math here, a little bit of spiritual calculation. Most of us are afraid of what the world can do. But I think we've gotten it wrong. I think we need to understand that the consequence of not following God is not doing what God calls us to do. And in not doing what God calls us to do, there may be no one else that wants the job. There may be no one else who wants to lead. No one else who will share the grace of God, the love of God, the hope that God gives us. You might be it. And what are the consequences of that? You know what? You're living the consequences of that. When you see the mistrust and the hatred, the anger and the animosity surrounding you, it's because we haven't acted, not because we have. The consequences aren't because we loved, it's because we haven't. It's not because we've acted, it's because we haven't. And here's the point. It's time to act. Not to think about it, but to love. Not to contemplate how, but to share the grace of God. The consequences now are too great if we don't act. And they're not nearly as daunting if we do. Show God's love. Share God's grace. Use your life to point the way to Jesus. Listen for what God is calling you to do. Answer God's call. You know, there's an old saying that there's a lot of fish in the sea. And there are. The reality, though, is that our responsibility is not to hold them for ourselves. Our responsibility is to catch people, to give them to God. When we're fishers of men, when we're fishers of people, we follow after God. And we do what Jesus has commanded us to. The challenge keeps ringing in my ears, and I hope it rings in yours as well. And it begins now. simply, will we hear it and follow it? Or will we pretend that the pastor just had, you know, he had Mexican food before bed and he woke up a little weird, asked us to do things, you know, asked us to act. You know it, like Peter knew it, and it frightens you. I can tell you the number one thing I hear when I ask people to step out in faith is, isn't there someone better? I don't feel ready. I just don't know enough. All of the excuses that we have for not acting, that we don't know, that we don't understand, that there's got to be someone better. If you heard the call, God's calling you. Now let me confess, I didn't like hearing the call either. It was scary. And I tried my best to find places to hide. I really wanted to go into academia. You know why? Because it's lovely to hide in academia. You don't have to deal with real people. You deal with students. They pay you to pontificate. And that's the job for me. But God called me to be in real lives. To be present when you, when family members die. To walk with you when you're at your worst. To celebrate when children and grandchildren are born. To mourn when we lose. To worry together. And to say to each other, God's here. Don't worry. To act. To walk. To love. We are here to do these things. It's scary. But here's the good news of the gospel. Jesus is in the boat with you. And Jesus has promised that he'll never leave or forsake you. And that if you and someone else are there, he will be there with you. He will give you words. He will protect your feet. He will guide you. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can find the words. Do the work. Walk the walk. And show the love. Let's answer the call together. Let's pray. Loving God, we know it's time. We've delayed. We've distracted ourselves. We've denied that we've heard your voice. And now it's time for us to answer. Help us to hear your voice in prayer. Help us to seek your spirit in prayer. Help us to work in life. We need a hero, but we already have one. You sent your son to die so that we might be free. You sent your son to die so that we might live. You sent your son to die so that we can be saved. You sent your son to die so that we can be your body, the body of Christ in the world. Fill us by your spirit and send us to your work. Help us to be obedient, to hear your voice, and to answer your call. And we pray it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray and let's sing together, Here I Am, Lord. And as we sing, I would ask that you would consider what that calling means in your life. You know, you can come forward if you want. We'll pray together. Or you can stay right there and you can pray with God. Ask God what change God wants to make in your life, what your call looks like, how you can be that man, that woman of God, and change the world in the Spirit of the living God. Let's sing together as we present ourselves as those